This is probably the punniest I will ever get with a sermon title. I'm not into puns, really. Stan loved puns. He just loved them so much. Of course, you can get the pun, right? 2020 vision, because next year's 2020. Some of you, it's just going over your head. That's fine. We're thinking about, of course, in this series, this is the last in our series of topics, that people think things that people think about around the holidays. And we always have this weird gap between Christmas and New Year's. It's like this week where we all have to go to work, but it still kind of feels like it should be holidays, and it's sort of weird, this gap week. It's been a while since I did a New Year's sermon, so we're doing one this year. And this year I'm praying, really, it is a pun, but I am really praying that we will see things more clearly than we have in the past. And we're going to look at a couple of things. One, this year I hope we will see ourselves clearly. It is hard to see yourself clearly. It is. There's things that get in the way. 2 Corinthians 13:5, examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves, or do you not realize this about yourselves, that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you fail to meet the test. Now, when I say we need to see ourselves clearly, I'm not saying that we're doing terrible. We might be doing quite well. But the point is what? We need to examine that. And a lot of times we just sort of stumble through life blindly. You're going to get a lot of vision puns this week. We sort of just stumble through life blindly, right? We're not really thinking about it. We're not really paying attention. And we just sort of think we're doing the right thing and things are going great. And maybe they are. Maybe things are going great spiritually for you. Maybe you are doing quite well, but you still need to take the time to examine, right? To make sure that you are in the faith. We have to be honest with ourselves if we're going to see clearly. Is it easy to be honest with ourselves? I don't think so. I don't think it is. Matthew 7:1-5, a passage that we'll return to. Judge not that you not be judged, for with the judgment you pronounce, you will be judged. With the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Why do you see the speck in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, here, let me take the speck out of your eye, when there is a log in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye. Spiritual growth begins with self-reflection. And often all we do is look at other people, right? That's all we do. I just look at what you're doing and all your flaws and all your horribleness. And it makes me feel good about myself to see all your failings, right? But isn't that what this passage is talking about? Right? That I'm just noticing the things that you have wrong in your life. And really the point is what? If I have not first looked at myself, how can I see what's going on with you in any accuracy, with any clarity? Right? Growth, not only spiritual growth of the individual, but the growth of us as a collective, the growth that we're all striving for together, begins by looking at ourselves. How am I doing? How are we doing? And the point is what? Once you have examined yourself honestly with self-reflection and self-evaluation, once you've examined yourself honestly, then what? That gives you the clarity to be able to see what's going on with other people. Galatians 6:1-5, a very similar idea, right? And Matthew 7 is talking about how we deal with others, but first we have to deal with ourselves. Galatians 6, a very similar thing. Yes, we're dealing with others, but what? Brothers, if anyone is caught in a transgression, you are a spiritual, should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. Keep watch on yourself, lest you too be tempted. We can get so caught up in what other people are doing, the failings of everybody else, that we don't notice that we are the ones who are failing. We talked about this in class in Romans. Romans chapter 1, look at all those heathens who are sinning. Romans chapter 2, oh, but by the way, you guys are also sinning, right? Keep watch on yourself. Bear one another's burdens. So there is an element of dealing with each other, which we'll talk about. So fulfill the law of Christ. If anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But let each one test his own work, and then his reason will be to boast in himself alone and not in his neighbor, for each will have to bear his own load. Again, this is not to say we are doing poorly. I'm not saying automatically that you're just doing horribly all the time. But rather, this year we need to be making sure We need to be looking at ourselves honestly. And maybe we are. Maybe we're doing great. I hope that you're doing great. I hope that you're repentant and you're doing things that are righteous and you're serving others and you're worshiping well and you have a good relationship with God. I think that for a lot of people, that's probably the case. But that can easily go away, can't it? Doesn't take much to lose that. I hope that we will evaluate and look at ourselves. How often do we lie to ourselves? Oh, I'm doing fine. I don't need to work on that. I'm doing better than these people. But what? I am deceiving myself. So I hope this year we'll see ourselves clearly. This year I hope we will view others graciously. That word graciously is an important word, and I very specifically chose it. I thought about just doing seeing ourselves clearly, seeing others clearly, seeing God clearly. But I think it's important to think about how Jesus talked about how we talk about other people. So let's return to Matthew 7 and the beginning part of that. Now, we know that people fail, obviously, right? And the point of the passage is interesting, judge not that you not be judged. But then he does go on to say, yeah, there's a speck in their brother's eye, right? We know that people have failings. We know that people mess up. And we know that people need help, obviously. Jesus is not saying that the other person was perfect. Right? He never says that in this text. The guy does have a speck in his eye. Of course, the point about being self-reflective first. But notice this point right here. With the judgment you pronounce, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. This is a serious statement on how we view other people, isn't it? If you want grace, give grace. Right? Is Jesus unclear about this, way he's saying this? The way that you view other people, the judgment you pronounce on them, the harshness or the graciousness, that's just going to be reflected back on you. Right? That's the measure that you will receive. So if I'm wanting others to view me graciously, to really think about not just, oh, Chris, look at how bad he is. Look at the horrible things that he's done. But thinking about why. And thinking about how they could help. And thinking about maybe there's an explanation for why he did that thing. And maybe it's not what I thought it was. And you know, we want people to do that for us, don't we? We want people to dig deeper on our actions and not just see a thing and assume the worst. I want you to do that for me. Which means what? I have to do that for you, right? And thinking about and viewing what other people are doing and being part of that, of course, is self-reflection. I'm viewing myself. But then as I view you and as I'm thinking about you and considering you, being gracious in my judgment. Mark 6, 31 through 34. I could have picked a number of different examples of this. I chose this one, Mark 6, 31 through 34. He said to, this is Jesus speaking, come away by yourselves to a desolate place and rest a while. For many were coming and going, and they had no leisure even to eat, and they went away in a boat, to a desolate place by themselves. Many saw them going and recognized them, and they ran there on foot from all the towns and got there ahead of them. When he went ashore and saw the great crowd, he had compassion on them. Why? Because they were like sheep without a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. A couple of things about this text. Jesus loved people, even knowing how they would end up treating him. Now, they have a goal in mind in this text, right? They have a goal. We're going to go to a boat. We're going to go to a desert. We're going to rest. We need to rest. We've been going all the time. We've had no time to relax, no time to recharge. So we're going to go get in the boat and leave and go to a desolate place. When they say desolate, without other people is what that really means, right? So they have this goal in mind. And then the crowd sees them and rushes ahead. And now the crowd's in them, or they're around the crowd. And we have two options here, right? We can be so focused on our own goal, so focused on what we want to do, so focused on what we have in mind, that we don't notice what's going on around us. And what does Jesus do? He sees the thing and changes the plan to accommodate for these people that now are in his lives, the people that are now in his way, people that he could have been frustrated with. Hey, I just wanted to go take a break. But what? He saw them and he had compassion on them. I think it can be easy for us to give ourselves compassion and not give anyone else compassion. that it's just about me and what I want and my goals and my plans and my thoughts. And we do not look at what is happening to other people. Jesus saw people. He saw them and saw what they needed and saw what was necessary. In this case, what? They needed guidance. They needed teaching. They needed instruction. They were like sheep without a shepherd. I hope that this year, yes, we will first evaluate ourselves and see ourselves clearly and be honest with ourselves. But I hope that we will look outside of ourselves to others as well and view them graciously. View them with the kind of compassion that Jesus had. Philippians 2, 3 through 4, do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. 1 John 4, 19, we love because he first loved us. If anyone says, I love God and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother, whom he has seen, and we're seeing the visual imagery here, right, cannot love God whom he has not seen. And this commandment we have from him, whoever loves God must also love his brother. I can't see God. And he says that in another passage, no one has ever seen God. I can't, he's not that way. I can see people. I can interact with people. I can see what's going on around me. And if I close my heart to them, then what? What does it say? If you hate your brother, you can't love God. And if you try to say you love God while hating your brother, what? You're a liar. Back to self-deception. Now, most of all, this year I hope we keep our eyes on God. Hebrews 12, 1 and 2, I love this text. I love what this text says about, well, we'll just read it. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despised the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. The idea of looking to the runner, keeping the end in mind, right? That's what we're talking about. Run with endurance, the race that is set. Looking to, we're visualizing the goal. We're visualizing the end of the race. We're visualizing that we will be successful. We're willing our victory into existence. Isn't that what that's talking about? And it's interesting, what does he say here? Isn't that what Jesus did? Jesus, who for the joy that was set before him, Jesus, as he's running a race, he's running this long race of life that we all have to do. He's doing it, and it's not going very well, and he's suffering a lot, and things are happening, and stuff keeps going on, and people are persecuting him. Ultimately, of course, we know he's going to die on the cross. But what? He is keeping his eyes on the goal, the joy that was set before him, which was what? Salvation. Forgiveness. All of us. We're the joy, right? We're the thing that was set before him. Jesus, you do this thing, you finish this race, and you will be the firstborn among many brothers. People that you will call unto yourself. People that you will draw to God. That was the joy that was set before him, and that's what helped him keep him going, right? And then he says that same about us. Look to Jesus, who is our goal, who is the end of our run, who should be what we're striving for. There's so many things in life that distract us, aren't there? So many things that are vying for our attention, so many things that want us, oh, look over here, look at this. Now, very, very specifically, advertising, that's how advertising works, right? You want to get your attention, but family, jobs, the pursuit of wealth, even health or hobbies, all these things that are, look over here, look over here, look over here. No, what? Look to Jesus. And when we look to Jesus, what happens? We remember, oh, he dealt with trouble too. He dealt with all these things. He dealt with all this suffering. Oh, he knows what I'm going through. We remember how much he loves us. Oh man, he did this for us, right? We were the joy that was set before him. How great a love Jesus has. We remember how he values those around us. And this is ultimately going to help us with both of the things that we looked at previously. Seeing ourselves clearly means what? Even though I may be a sinner, I know that Jesus values me because of what he did. That's a clear perception. And even if I see others around me and I see their mistakes and I see their flaws, what? I know Jesus values them. That should affect how we live. 2 Corinthians 3:12 through 18, the reading that was read for us, and we're going to return to it one more time. Since then we have such a great hope, we are very bold. What's the hope? The thing that Jesus provided for us, right? The thing that Jesus did for us. Since we have such a hope, we are very bold, not like Moses, who put a veil over his face, that the Israelites might not gaze at the outcome of what was being brought to an end. What is that talking about? Moses goes up on the mountain, receives the Ten Commandments, looks at God, comes back down. He's glowing so much they can't look at him. So he puts this veil. Their minds were hardened. For to this day, when they read the Old Covenant, that veil remains unlifted because only through Christ is it taken away. Yes, to this day, whenever Moses is read, a veil lies over their hearts. But when one turns to the Lord, the veil is removed. Now the Lord is Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we all, with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord. Again, an allusion to what happened to Moses on the mountain, are being transformed in the same image from one degree of glory to another, for this comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. You read this verse, this veil, what is that talking about? The devil does not want us to see clearly. That's ultimately what he's trying to do, is obscure our vision. That's the devil's ultimate goal. What? How? Well, he wants us to see ourselves poorly. And this happens primarily in two ways. Why? Oh, I'm so great. Nothing's wrong with me. I don't need to improve. I am awesome. That's a lie. Your vision has been clouded or veiled. Or maybe the opposite. I'm so terrible. And nothing I ever do will be good enough. And I just can't improve, and I just can't get better. That's a lie, too. That's neither of those are clear, neither of those are right, but that's how the devil wants you to view yourself of one of those. And really, either one's good for him. He's fine with either one. As long as you don't see yourself clearly, you're either awesome or you're horrible. When really, aren't people a mix? Yeah, we do sin, but God values us. He wants us and has enabled us to improve. He wants us to see others poorly as well. Wouldn't that be great for the devil? If we just couldn't see how others really are, maybe look how terrible they are. That person, they're never going to change. I didn't mean to point over there intentionally. Look, that person over there, they're never going to do anything right. That's a lie too, isn't it? Isn't the ultimate promise of God that anyone can repent, anyone can change, anyone can be different? So you look at the people around you and what? Oh, look at how sinful, look at how horrible they are. Oh, I don't need to talk to them about the gospel. They'll never be better. That is a veil. Something that has covered your vision and blinded you. Or might have the opposite thing, right? Look at those people. They have everything I want and need. I just need to be exactly like them. They have it all together. They have no problems and really they're perfect. Well, that's not true either, right? Nobody is exactly what they need to be, so stop idolizing other people. And again, the devil's fine with either of those. The devil's fine if you idolize other people, and the devil's fine if you just think people are horrible, because neither are true, and neither are right. Ultimately, he wants us to stop looking at God. Maybe we're blinded by selfishness, pride, materialism, maybe apathy, maybe we're blinded by depression, maybe we're blinded by whatever. So many things the devil wants to blind us with, as long as we are not looking at God. As long as we're not paying attention to Jesus and paying attention to what he says and what he wants and paying attention to how he blesses us. Part of seeing God clearly is seeing the things that he's doing in our lives, isn't it? He would love for us to not notice those things. Oops, I went one too far. 2 Corinthians 3:12 through 18. How do we see clearly when one turns to the Lord? The veil is removed. Now the Lord is Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. This is one of the fundamental promises of Jesus. There's a lot of things vying for your attention in life, a lot of things that deceive and blind and trick, a lot of things that obscure the way reality is, but when we turn to Jesus, that is the first time we see the way things really are. The way to see things as they truly are is through Jesus. Understanding, yes, of course. Everybody is flawed. Raise your hand if you sinned last week. I know you did. You were around family. They drive you crazy. It's impossible not to. Okay? We know that. We all make mistakes. We all sin. But in Jesus, we see what? There's forgiveness. There's improvement. There's growth. There's value. There's something to be striving for. So yes, this year, I would love for us to see with 2020 vision, to see things as they are, which can only happen in Jesus if we're willing to take what Jesus has said as truth, if we're willing to accept what he has said about anything, about everything, willing to accept that he is Lord, willing to follow his commands, willing to submit to him, to repent, to be united with him in baptism. That is freedom. Amen?